Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us to answer your gardening questions today, the Dream Team. Bob Graves is a horticulturalist and co-owner of Fadigan's Nursery in Latham, New York. He's been an avid hands-in-the-dirt gardener for 40 years or even 42 since this script was written. Fred Breglia is director of the Landis Arboretum in Esperance, New York. Greg Ward runs Ward's Nursery, a lawn and garden resource in Great Barrington, Massachusetts. We welcome your calls right now, 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Now, as I mentioned at the outset, you can also email voxpop@wamc.org. Theoretically, you could also go to Facebook, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. In theory, there'll be a Vox Pop post there. You could tweet us at WAMC Vox Pop. Again, the email is voxpop@wamc.org. But the number here on this program, which is a live afternoon call-in program, it's 800-348-2551. Bob, Fred, Greg, welcome back to the show, gentlemen.
Hey,
it's
thanks
great
a lot.
To be back.
Great to be back.
Yeah, yeah. Spring is here.
Oh,
March,
is it ever?
March was nicer, but, you know, we'll take it. Yeah. So things are kicking into high gear for you guys,
they
I imagine.
Sure are.
We are in high gear right now, yes.
It's been a really, really a successful planting season because of March, because it's been so long that the ground has been open and workable. It's given, and I would actually have to say, because it's been fairly dry, that just gives you more opportunity to get out there in the yard and get things done. And so I think, yeah, most people, raise your hand, are ahead of the game. I have my
my hands are as far down as you can get.
I'm glad we had some rain this week, though, because it was beginning to get really dry.
It was,
I hope we get some more.
In fact, that's actually one of the biggest problems, I think, associated with this spring is that the lack of snow. A lot of people think, well, you know, snow is insulate my roots, maybe it's winter damage, and all that's true. But actually, the bigger factor
I think we're seeing
Lack of snow means really dry conditions. And although in the early season it might get us ahead, in the end, we're going to start seeing a really, the ground is...
I think we were all talking before the show that we're seeing some winter burn. And we're seeing whether that's because there was no snow or because it was real cold or whether it got cold recently, I don't know that we know. But if you've got some evergreens that are showing some bronzy color on them, don't be too concerned because that's the winter.
Yeah, but if you've got any new plants out there, definitely think about watering because it's
not
getting
just,
dry and it's drying out each day.
Yeah, that's what I was going to add. Just not just new this spring.
Right.
That's right.
But last... Anything you planted last year, even if it was last spring, really could benefit from a good soaking. Yeah, we all got some decent rain the other day, but
not enough yet.
Could do it all over again, and that would really be helpful.
Now, we had a couple of cold nights. I think Tuesday night was very cold. Any damage to consider from that?
I think minimal damage that I've seen. Everything that was going to be damaged has probably already been,
Most of the things that have been in the ground that were planted last year are okay. You know, some of the materials that we're bringing in the nursery that may have come in from Connecticut or New Jersey or Pennsylvania that are a little ahead of us, if they get a real cold night, it might burn the foliage a little bit, but they're okay.
Okay.
They just have a little brown on them.
Yeah, and no one that I know of has put their tomatoes out yet.
Not.
So that kind of thing shouldn't have happened.
Not have happened unless you were really jumping the gun.
Yeah,
but,
very optimistic.
You know, think about water, and also people ask you how much once a week thorough waterings, saturating that root zone would be adequate. But keep that on until we get good rain again.
All right, let's go to our phones at 800-348-2551. We'll start out with Kerry in Plainfield, Mass. Kerry, you're up.
Hi. Good morning, Ray. Or good morning. Good afternoon, Ray and company.
Good evening.
I've been growing garlic for years, and I've never had a problem until this past mild winter. I have 15 raised beds, and I planted a soft neck variety of garlic. The beds are constructed exactly the same, basically the same soil compost mix. They're in the same location. 12 of the beds have garlic that's growing really well now. However, three of the beds, there was no growth at all. When I removed the straw that I use for insulation in the wintertime, the leaves were white in those three beds, and they were very soft. Actually, they just rotted. And I never had that before. What do you think happened there?
And it's not, you don't have it by variety. This wasn't one particular variety.
I do have a little, what they call a German... a hard neck one, but it's mostly the soft neck that I'm growing. That's all the same garlic, and like I said, three of the beds, 12 of the beds, there were 4x8 beds. The garlic looks perfect. Yeah, like so it always does, but there are three beds that nothing happened.
I mean, the choices are, you know, you have to sort of find the clue. So is it the variety that failed, you know, just couldn't tolerate the extremes of our winter because there are some less hardy varieties? Or is it the specific beds were in a different situation, the soil mix is different, or you planted them earlier or later, and so one of those variables affected them.
Well, what do you think, Kerry? Did you do anything different with those dead ones?
Well, I got rot. I pulled up the rotted what was left of the bulbs, and I guess I'm going to be putting some cabbage in and something else.
No. But I mean, did you do something when you were planting that was different?
I did them all the same day, you know, at the same time. Like I said, the beds are almost identical. Yeah. They're in the same location. Everything's the same except these three beds just didn't produce anything.
Are they raised beds, out of curiosity?
They're 14 inch deep.
So, you know, the fact that we didn't have any snow, and this is just a potential variable, since you say you didn't do much else different there. The fact that we didn't have any snow cover, sometimes with raised beds in particular, there's no insulation. And, you know, perhaps those varieties got just a little colder than they would in the past, under like 2-3 feet of snow, or even 6 inches for that matter. So that might have been one factor in there, along with a few other variables.
I'm not going to complain too much because I like the way this past winter went. So
all right. Kerry. Well, thanks a lot. You know, detective work. It is.
It really is. Yep. You know, it's like crime scene investigation.
I often feel that same exact way.
There's something different there.
Yep.
It could have been that they're on so the beds are all lined up, but they're the southerlymost beds, so they're getting more heat during the winter.
I mean, could they just be bad seeds?
It could be that, too.
Well, that would be variety.
It would be random, though.
Yeah, it wouldn't be random. If he had three varieties in there and all of them failed, then it's not the variety. If the soil's the same, then.
Right. Yeah. So could they just be three just random, like hitting the lottery 2 weeks in a row? Could it be three bad plants right next to each other?
It could be. There's a certain
likely. Not likely though.
But less likely with that, yeah.
Okay.
More so with a seed probably than an actual viable garlic.
All right, let's go over to line three and Paula in Woodstock. Paula, you're up.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm calling about some shrubs and bushes. I'm the opposite of your previous caller. I'm not much of a gardener, and I live in a small apartment complex that deer love to come and graze. So I plant daffodils, and then I've been putting in bushes. So my questions are, I put in a beauty bush. This will be its second summer, and I've heard contradictory things about how much to cut it back. Some people said don't cut it back at all. Some people said cut it back halfway. So that's one question.
Okay.
And should I save the other two bushes?
Yeah, we'll try to keep the other two brief, but, I mean, you've come to the right place for that question.
You said beauty bush, colquitsia, not beauty berry, right?
That's correct.
Colquitsia. Yeah, so my advice, if it's only been in a year or two, would be to do absolutely nothing.
It's going to get
nice and big. It's a beautiful plant, and rarely do they need pruning except when you want to make them smaller.
Control the size.
Yeah. My gut feeling is that the people that probably told you to cut some back all the way, halfway, I almost think they're probably talking about butterfly bush, because that was one that every spring you really want to cut back to like live growth. Wait to see what happens. Some years you cut it way back. Some years you don't have to cut it back as much. It does vary where it dies, but colquitsia, the beauty bush, just like what Greg said.
It does
said.
Get big. If you're going to control it, you want to keep up
okay,
with it.
Okay, great. Well, the point is for all these three bushes to get big so that I don't have to put my shades and drapes down all the time.
Yeah, you got it.
So just let it grow.
The next one is in the fall, I put in a mountain fire Andromeda. And I just read through the information that came with it, and I believe I'm not supposed to cut anything back until it blooms and I get all those pretty little blossoms in the spring, and then I cut it back. Is that correct?
Yeah, you would prune that after bloom time.
If, again, it's a new plant.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear us?
Well, I think we might have lost her. All right, well, we'll hang up. You go ahead and answer the question.
Because it's a new plant, I would not get too aggressive with pruning at all. Because you want it, assuming to screen your windows, you would want it to grow, so probably no pruning. The only thing you might want to do if you're really want to do is take the flower heads off, the seed heads off when they when
yeah, they get
blooming.
A little ugly and brown after yeah. the flowers.
And that happens right after they bloom. So
and by taking those off, you're going to direct a lot of energy that would be going into seed production, into flower production. Those kind of plants set up flower buds for next year right after they bloom. And those are things like lilacs, same concept.
Needs a lot of pruning.
But it's generally just shape it here or there and let it grow. So two out of three there, we say let it grow, minus a little bit of deadheading.
All right, here's one that came in via email, and in the minute or so before our break, we'll run through this one from Jessica. I have a weeping cherry tree in my front yard that did not blossom last year and again this year. It has a few leaves, but it appears to not even have any budding on most of the branches. What could be causing this, and what can be done? That's from Jessica. You have 1 minute, and go.
The flowers would most likely be associated with winter damage, so it'd blight those off through the winter cold. If she says she doesn't have any buds on that plant, then that I'm thinking that she's also meaning no foliar buds, in which case that plant is there's a problem with that plant if that's the case. If it doesn't leaf out, then it's not good. My guess is that it's going to leaf out if it's healthy, covered with green leaves, minus some of the blooms.
If it didn't have leaves on it last year, it's already gone.
Yeah, I don't know if it's leaves or blooms.
And then if she's talking about just flower buds, the white ones are very hardy and would be a better choice if, in fact, she's got the pink ones. Sometimes the pink ones are not cold hardy.
It says it has a few leaves.
It
appears not to have any budding on most of the branches.
Yeah, be careful with the pink ones because some areas around here, they just won't do
well. My guess is that she planted, and there's a guess, but without knowing more info, but planted it, probably got blasted last year with that cold winter. It never really had enough energy to make it through another winter, and now it's kind of spitting and sputtering, but it sounds like damage.
All right, let's take a break here. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. It's the Gardening Show, and we'll be back.
Support comes from Audubon Service, Great Barrington, Massachusetts, offering service, repair, and diagnosis of Asian-made and imports, specializing in late-model Volkswagen, Subaru, Audi, and BMW. AutobahnTechnic.com. Kingsway Communities, Schenectady, New York, announcing open house on May 12th from 1 to 5 p.m., offering a continuum of care and services for seniors. Caring in the family tradition. 518-393-8800. The Ashokan Center, presenting Alistair Fraser and Natalie Haas in concert of traditional and contemporary Scottish and cello music on Sunday, May 1st at 3 p.m. AshokanCenter.org. Bodhi Spa Yoga and Salon, Hudson, a full yoga studio offering classes in vinyasa yoga, Pilates, hot yoga, prenatal yoga, and yoga basics. Open daily, BodhiHolisticSpa.com. And Landis Arboretum, Esperance, New York, announcing spring plant benefit May 13th through the 15th. LandisArboretum.org.
Vox Pop on WAMC, 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Ray Graff here. Yeah, it's the Gardening Show. We have Bob Graves, Fred Breglia, and Greg Ward in the studio to answer your questions. And the email address also is voxpop@wamc.org. Let's take two email questions here and then get back to the phones. This one's from Josh, who said, "Hi, I just purchased a house with a steep hill that runs parallel to a stream. Any recommendations for plantings to stabilize the hill? I was thinking hostas, but I've heard they will be eaten by wildlife. The hill gets partial sun. The soil appears rich."
If you can think of some ground cover woody plant, that would be beneficial. So shrubberies, that would be kind of choice one. Woody shrubs going to do a lot more for holding ground versus herbaceous material. Although hostas is more herbaceous, so not going to hold the same kind of level.
Kind of touting... it's not exactly native to Berkshire County, but to Massachusetts, I believe, is that sumac called Logro.
Logro sumac, yeah.
Aromatic sumac, so it's Rus aromatica Grolo.
Right.
I always get them reversed. Yeah. Logro.
And there's a lot of woodies that would work for that. So it really depends on how much sun he gets there.
Okay.
Without knowing, it's hard to say. But
don't do hostas. The deer are going to destroy it.
Yeah, and they're not going to get too good of a erosion control out of that.
All right, this one comes from Chris, who says, "My usually healthy Pachysandra is showing some yellowing and browning. Is this the winter burn you refer to, or is it lack of water? What do you recommend to bring it back to health?
All of the above.
Well, it's definitely the winter. I mean, it does kind of get beat up a little bit in some winters, and this winter was probably top of the list. You can wait, and it will green up with new growth. You can add a nitrogen-based fertilizer to sort of bring that along and stimulate that, and that would happen now.
Yeah, mine is just burned to a crisp.
And irrigation, again, comes back to that. I guess that's going to be the theme.
Fertilizer
and water.
If there's a lot of brown, I don't know if you'd recommend cleaning that up a little bit, actual brown dead tissue.
Yeah, we go in with a rake and kind of beat them up a little bit, rake them out. And you can punish those a little bit, and they'll come back.
Yeah, they should come back.
Violent program. All right, let's get back to the phones. 800-348-2. It's taking an ugly turn. 800-348-2551. Mary in Newburg. Mary, you're on.
Hi, thanks for my call. I don't know much about clumping bamboo, and I need some help with getting the best bamboo possible to grow fast, maybe provide bird cover if that's what it does, keep deer away if it doesn't or does. I don't know much about it, but I'd like to know what's the best thing to do. I want to get a fenced look. I want to get a nice thick fenced look, and how long is it going to take me? I don't really know much about it, but somebody told me maybe clumping bamboo would work.
Can you sing the old bamboo song for us, Mary?
I don't know.
The old bamboo, batting at a bottom with my old bamboo. All right, just forget it.
Wow. No, continue.
All right, let's ask the questions now.
Bamboo, there are hardy varieties. It does work for a fence.
Do we know where she is?
Yeah, I'd like to know
Newburg, New York.
So we do.
Yeah, I'm on the side of the hill. I'm not near any roads, so there's no asphalt near me. It's all just ground work. There's a small creek, but not very. It's a dry creek, but there is sometimes water in it, but not much.
We offer two bamboos. One is tall and not clumping. It tends to spread, and the other is a little short, 3+ feet. But is clumping. So the two groups or genus, one is called Phyllostachys, and there's several selections, and you could find, that's the tall one, you could find a hardy or a selection that you would like in Newburg and one that's hardy. We kind of narrow it down to just one variety called Bissettes. And then in the shorter clumping one, the one that would not be as aggressive or invasive, the Fargesias are very pleasant clumping bamboos, but again, you're not going to get more than 4 feet or so, maybe 5 in Newburg out of those. And that's the limit for the Berkshires, so we haven't gone too much farther. My personal opinion is you know, the taller bamboos do spread. There are no clumping forms, and they can get a little aggressive. So really think through that if that's what you want. There may be some other choices.
Yeah, I live near a woods anyways. There's 20,000 acres near right next door. So if it grows and spreads, that's okay with me. But will it be helpful for the bird life?
No, it's not native, so it has potential to be spreading a little bit in a bad way with some of those bamboos.
And deer? Will deer eat it maybe?
Nope. It's very good for not having deer browse.
Basically useless.
What is it you want it to do? That's really what we should have asked.
I like the fact that it's such a nice cover. You know, it grows fast, and I've seen it in several places, and it seems to have a nice fenced look. There's a privacy fence.
A lot of people do plant it for that reason. And, you know, if you can keep it in control, then you should be fine. The only thing I would urge you as a warning, I've seen this happen before, and to innocent people who are looking for free bamboo. There is a plant out there that people sometimes call bamboo. It's Japanese knotweed, and it's a nightmare to get rid of.
Yeah,
and I've seen clients' houses over the years where they actually, if it was given to them as bamboo to screen. So if someone says free bamboo, free anything, make sure you know what it is. It could be a really good thing.
Yeah,
but it could be a bad thing. It could be a nightmare.
There are certainly other deciduous border shrubs that would work too. If you wanted something for birds, there's lots of other deciduous.
There is a lot of stuff. A lot of shrubbery.
Reconsidering, instead of bamboo, using some woody shrubs. What the woody shrubs will do is give you better cover long term. The bamboo is still really a big grass. Every spring, it will brown up, and you'll want to cut that out so that the new green comes up. So there's a maintenance aspect there that you may want to consider. And then lastly, if you you know, if you put up a fence, it allows you to plant on your side of the fence almost anything you want. So you can do a lot of other fun things if you decide on a fence.
All right, Mary, well, thank you so much for the call. It is the gardening show, as you may have guessed, 800-348-2551. Let's go to Terry in Springfield. Terry, you're on.
Hello. I have a couple of different plants that won't bloom. The first one is hydrangea. It's probably 5 or 6 years now. It has never bloomed. Then the other one is a mountain andromeda that's at least 25 years old, maybe older, and that has never bloomed.
Yeah. The hydrangea, is it more of a shrub form?
Yes. Definitely.
Okay. Yep. One that's supposed to be pink or blue flowers?
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. That would be almost guaranteed winter injury. It's marginal. That plant works really, really well in some places.
If it's an older one, it may be one we called Nico Blue. It's a hydrangea macrophylla, Nico Blue. And they're just not fully bud hardy in this area. But there are some newer varieties of that type of hydrangea that are much hardier.
Yeah, and you have probably really healthy leaves on those plants, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's why I thought, why isn't it blooming? The leaves look fantastic.
And, yeah, you're getting winter blast or winter injury.
You don't do any pruning, right? You don't do any pruning to this plant?
I did a few years, and that didn't work. So then I left it alone, and that didn't work.
Yeah, still
you could try, in the future, try putting like a burlap screen, kind of like a little cage through the winter months to help shield some of those winter winds that may help the situation. But those buds on both of those plants are going to be a little marginal, especially with the wrong variety. So you get really healthy plant, but unless you do a little winter screening. And that may help. I've seen people where they could just put a little burlap around them, a little few sticks, and shelters them through the winter and the spring. This time of year, you pop them out, and you get a lot more flower power out of that plant. So try, it's certainly worth a shot. I would do that this coming fall. You don't need to put it up until the fall, and then think about burlap and some screening to help shield them, and then, hope for the best. And then, if you don't see anything after that, I think, maybe think about another selection.
Okay. Thanks, Terry. We appreciate it. You wanted to add something, Greg?
No, I didn't. I thought that'd be great. Just any kind of winter protection. I thought this winter was going to be the winter that they would bloom
so
really
high.
Well, because it was mellow and mild. And then February, we had whatever. Some people had 17 below. Some people may have had worse.
It was cold. Yep.
And that probably did in the hydrangea.
Mm. Particularly since they were a little soft to begin with because it had been so mild.
Because it had been mild, so they were a little bit less hardy probably.
We're still sort of holding out for the possibility that many will bloom this year, but it's a little early to tell. Mm. Don't prune your blue-pink hydrangeas down yet. Wait until you see some growth.
All right, before we get back to the phones, this one came in via email. It's an old favorite here on the program. How do I get rid of voles? It's from Peggy.
Yep. Well, voles, I always like to say there's a big difference. Make sure it's a vole, not a mole. The mole is the one that makes the little mound in the soil.
Yeah.
And it's predominantly eating grubs.
Right.
The other one will make a hole like a chipmunk would or a mouse would. And that one has teeth and it does damage to plants.
Yeah.
And those, I've had good luck with just mouse traps. And I cover the mouse traps with a plastic jug or something like that in half. Yeah. So you got like a kind of the top part shielded, and I put a little rock on that so that you're not getting a cat by accident.
They are amazingly destructive.
They are. Yep.
I had somebody come in this week with a half a dozen roses. There were absolutely no roots left, and they'd eaten the bark up about 8 inches on every stem on the plant.
Yep. So mouse traps with a little bit of peanut butter, just like you would a mouse, could persist.
And there's a lot of them.
Cats work well, especially if they're not house cats, the outdoor cat. Maybe
they
miss a meal every
like
once in a while, so it becomes more of a hunter.
Stone walls or stonework or patios or pools, any kind of stone or concrete they can live in underneath.
That's right.
You'll see a lot of voles.
And there are some repellents. Do you guys sell?
There's some repellents.
There are some repellents that you certainly can try those. I think if you have a lot of them, though, the setting out the trap line and as you said, covering the trap. So usually you'll see a run, like a little path, and it'll end at a hole. And if you find the hole and you set the mouse trap perpendicular to the path near the hole, bait it with what works, a little peanut butter or whatever, and then put a cover on the hole and the trap all together, you will catch them. And it's something you'll have to do on a regular basis.
Yeah, but how many do you think you will, if there's one hole there, how many voles, I should say?
I've uncovered a little breeding house, because they don't necessarily in the summertime go very deep. I've accidentally kicked it over. And so there goes mom, and then maybe there's five others.
Yeah.
And that's just one little spot. So you could easily, it's like, you know,
you could easily
think about catching maybe a couple dozen.
Yeah, it could be.
But they've been there a while.
But not crazy unless we're talking about a mega site. You know, we're talking like not
like a condominium.
Yeah. Unless you're going to cover a regular condominium.
All right, let's go back to the phones. And Chuck in Hudson. Chuck, you're on.
Hello.
Hello.
I want to start a avocado tree. Do I have to dry the seeds out first? You know, I want to plant it inside.
The, when we were kids, we used to stick a toothpick into that avocado seed and suspend it over a glass of water so that the fruit, the nut there, was touching the water, maybe a quarter, half an inch of water, and then it will.
Can't hear you.
Okay, try it one more time.
Me?
Greg, yeah.
So what you would do is suspend the nut over a cup of water, and you can use toothpicks or something to hold the nut up, especially when it's first harvested. It's usually soft.
On each side of the nut?
So that the nut is in water but also out of water. So it's half in water and half out.
Okay.
And right. Then let it sit there by the window, and eventually – like seeds, it will split and root, and a top will take off, and you'll have some leaves, and
needs a bright spot.
Yeah.
It needs to be a bright, warm spot.
And, of course, bring it in the winter.
Well, yeah. He's going to have it inside.
Well, okay, yeah, but you can put it out. A lot of those indoor plants love to be outside in summer.
Summer. And
so they'll do really well for you out on your patio, but then you got to bring it in. It's not hardy.
Okay. And what sort of artificial light could you use inside your house for that?
You know, nothing's going to be better than a good old window. So if you have the right exposure, that's the best.
Okay, but what if you don't?
Fluorescent tubing is usually very convenient, and if you can get it relatively close, that would be great.
So that gives this necessary spectrum.
Most of the time, a regular fluorescent will give a regular spectrum. There are specialty bulbs, but for an avocado, you don't need that.
Do LED lights, are they no good for growing inside?
The technology is getting more and more and more developed for LEDs. The thing with LEDs has been the spectrum.
It's very narrow.
But it's getting better. They're getting better. And sometimes they'll tell you maybe mix them in. But
and there are now LEDs for grow lights.
Oh, really?
Specifically,
grow
lights. It's just, are the regular LEDs going to be worthwhile? I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Let's go back to the phones at 800-348-2551. Ina in Woodridge, you're on.
I'm here. Okay. I have an azalea. I'm wondering whether you have to prune them or not, because I don't see anything really on it this year.
Well, you know, azaleas, rhododendrons, anything that blooms on previous season's wood, which that plant is, you pretty much can just selectively prune it after it blooms. You may not need to do much. If it looks good, then really just removal of seed heads would be probably enough, what we call deadheading.
If it doesn't look real good right now, it could be that it got burned a little bit over the winter. We're seeing a lot of burn on that type of thing, and you really need to wait, because it can look dead for another month or 6 weeks and still recover.
And that's not just azaleas.
No, that's not just azaleas.
All of your plants, you really want to wait. And if it's, because it's an azalea, it should have some flower buds, hopefully that made it through the winter, and they will bloom in May. So certainly wouldn't be doing any pruning before June.
Right, regardless. And like Jerry said, you know, waiting across the board, because even if a plant got damaged, flower buds and or foliar buds, the plant's going to leaf out through stored energy. So it has the potential, especially if it's a larger plant and it hasn't been installed just recently, it has potential to be able to reform buds and refoliate. So patience is going to be more of an important thing to see this year.
Okay.
All right, thank you, because I really didn't know anything about them.
Well,
now
you,
I do. Thank you.
You've come to the right place, Ina. Thanks a lot. 800-348-2551. Dan in Gill, Massachusetts. Dan, you're on.
Hi. I am wondering if you have experience using llama poop beans for making tea, where you take a cup of beans, put it in a gallon jug, fill it with water, wait 2 or 3 days till it turns brown, apply it to plants, then add another gallon of water, wait again till it turns brown, and keep doing it till it stops turning brown, then you add the sludge to the plants. Do you have experience doing that, and do you have some thoughts of how much you can safely use?
For a horrible minute, I thought you were talking about drinking the tea. Okay. All right, now I understand. All right, panel, go ahead.
I have no experience. I do not own a llama. However, you're making a compost tea or a manure tea. There are, I'm sure, there are some general instructions out there in the ethers that would give you that. I would say the biggest thing is that you know you want it to be composted, that it should, the manure
not
should
fresh.
Have yeah should That's have right. been last year's manure,
yeah.
not this year's manure. And if you follow that recommendation, you would probably find you could be adding that nutrient-rich water on a weekly basis, I would say, on average, you know, yeah. 7-10 days, something
yeah.
like
yeah.
that.
It would be hard to overdo the concentrate on that because it's a fairly mild solution.
That's right.
Unless you have a lot of llamas. Right?
Yeah, or if you're using the raw material.
Right.
Which case you could burn stuff up all the time. But my dad used to use like manure teas like that for the garden.
Yeah.
Grew unbelievable tomatoes and, you know, never burned anything. But yeah. it was always old manure. So if it applies yeah. to, you know, any, I think, you know, you could pretty much say that the manure tea recipe, compost tea recipe.
It doesn't necessarily have to be llama.
It doesn't need to be llama. I would look at
Is there something
know,
special about the llama?
But the key is definitely old. Like these guys said, last year's or a couple of years old. The older, you know, no problem. Anything fresh.
I think
you're
the
llama
is easy to work
trouble.
With because it's a small. Pellet.
Well, my understanding pellet. Is that unlike other manures, llama beans don't burn. And
no, they're fairly dry, which is part of the reason.
Oh, there you go. Well, you know, Dan, thanks a lot for adding a new phrase into our lexicon. That would be
llama beans.
Poop tea.
Good luck with that.
Get me out of here. Let's take a break. 800-348-2551 is the telephone number. Yeah, it's the gardening show. And boy, it's surreal at the moment. We'll be back.
Support comes from Hadley Garden Center, Hadley, Massachusetts, offering annuals, perennials, vegetables, trees and shrubs, indoor and outdoor plants and gardens, and landscape information. HadleyGardenCenter.com. Stories Nursery, Freehold, open house this Saturday and Sunday, including a signing with J. Stephen Casales, author of Grapes of the Hudson Valley. Saturday from noon to 2, storiesnursery.com. Ashfield Stone, Shelburne Falls, Massachusetts, quarry and fabrication. Used for enduring landscapes and interiors, including countertops and floor planking. Rare and wonderful native stone of the Berkshires. AshfieldStone.com. Arkell Museum at Kinnegaharee, presenting Edward Bike, picturing the American Revolution, juxtaposing a 20th century view of the Revolutionary War with 18th century portraits. ArkellMuseum.org. And Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com.
Yes, it's Vox Pop. Brew up a nice fresh cup of llama poop tea, sit down and relax and enjoy the program. We're joined here by Bob Graves, Fred Breglia, and Greg Ward. Now, Fred, you have some events going on over at the Landis Arboretum.
Yeah, well, we're gearing up for the big spring plant sale here, and it's going to be the 14th and 15th to the general public of May, and that's 10 to 4, open for free. There's free tours both days, including the tour of the Native Plant Trail, so that's the 14th and 15th of May, 10 to 4. If you're a member of the Landis Arboretum, you can actually come on the 13th, pre-shop, and again, not only do we have trees, shrubs, perennials, we have organic vegetables, we have annuals, we have herbs. We also carry a large variety of used books focused on gardening one of the best bake sales around. And then the only other thing I wanted to mention, and you can visit the website, www.landisarboretum.org. Also wanted to mention, free to the public, this coming Friday, tomorrow night, at 7:30 at the Old Stone Fort Museum in Schoharie, I'm going to be giving a presentation on old growth forests and champion trees.
Cool.
If you want to know more about big trees or old growth, it's one of my specialties amongst other things.
You're
going to be there tomorrow at 7:30, and it's free.
You going to bring the guitar?
No guitar for this one.
No?
No guitar for this one.
Just sing a couple of songs.
But I've got some really neat samples of some tree cross sections, some of them about 6 inches wide and over 400 years on those alone.
Wow.
So it looked like the rings of a vinyl record.
Fantastic.
Incredible. So stop by, visit the website, and we hope to see you then.
You know, Bob Graves, I heard a rumor that there was a time when you guys over there at Fatigan's had the llama poop.
Yeah, we had. There was a llama rancher, I guess, in our area at one time, and she used to harvest the llama poop and put it in burlap bags.
I'll be darned.
Doesn't do it anymore, but yeah.
Isn't capitalism great?
For a while.
I got to say, this is.
Not to keep this going, but the one question I'd have, and you may or may not have the answer to this, is, you know, with certain kinds of manures, the seeds are completely destroyed, and other ones, they're not.
Yeah, and I think in the llama, it's not too bad. You know, like with horses, it's terrible. Yeah.
Right, horses are terrible.
Terrible.
So maybe you get a little bit less weed seed in that type of thing.
We get a lot of horse manure around here.
The ruminant animals that digest more than once, you get better.
So I guess he has experience.
This is more than... Our host wants to know.
Sorry, I brought it up. All right, this is from Aaron in Johnstown. My gardening question is about starting a brand new garden. We want to take up some of our lawn and turn it into a vegetable garden. What types of soil amendments or additions should we add to make a good garden soil? Do we need to rototill the ground? That's from Aaron.
There's a huge thing with that. So there's two schools of thought. First off, no-till or till. And there's a lot of reasons and a lot of research in the more recent years that have definitely showed a lot of advantages for the no-till. And at myself personally, at our house, we have always gone down the no-till method. I wish they told me and my dad that 30 years ago, but we were saved a lot of work. But in any case, what you do for a new garden is just cover the area up, and you have enough time to do it now. Cover it, smother it, and literally everything that's in place will work well. Now, she's talking about soil. You really don't want to start anything new without a soil test.
Okay.
Yeah, I would suggest, you know, thinking about whether you want to make a bed in your lawn or whether you want to build a raised bed and fill it.
Okay.
So, but either way, if you're filling it, you're going to be bringing in some topsoil. If you open it up in your lawn, you're going to have access to the topsoil that's there. And 99% of the time, adding organic matter, some kind of compost is going to be recommended.
Yeah.
The first time around, if it's your lawn, often adding an additional nutrient like fertilizer or something is actually not necessary. It's pretty tremendous what happens in a sort of fallow field, if you will. But eventually, and if you did do the raised bed and brought in the soil, you probably would also want to add some nutrients. The soil test will tell you all those things, and that's most likely what they will say.
Yeah, and when you say soil test, we're talking about not only the pH, which is basically a measure of acidity and alkalinity. We want to be in that 6.5, 6.8 range for the majority of a lot of plants, but also just a general idea, is my soil good, is it bad? Well, what makes a good soil? And if you have compacted clay with a lot of rock, and really, basically, if they take it away, your topsoil, which a lot of building sites, they take the topsoil away and they've left you with subsoil.
Yeah.
And now if that's your soil, now we're talking, there's a real good reason to maybe have a raised bed.
I would really emphasize, if you add compost, or whether it be municipal compost or bag compost or anything like that, almost always we find that the pH is way high, 7.5, 7.8, 8 after you do that.
On bag compost?
On any kind of compost that you bring in. And a lot of topsoils now are high, too, because they're using compost to make that topsoil.
That's true.
So you may need to add some sulfur, but the pH is often way out of whack.
Yep. So, you know, really assess that soil. Sometimes if it's an older home, we don't know if it's old or new. New construction typically is built on subsoil. Older homes, they didn't do that. And, you know, my mom's got an old farmhouse. The soil there is amazing. You would never want to adjust it, except for, of course, add compost, which, you know, that helps. But your raised bed would be a lot of extra work for no reason. So really, need a little more information there, but I think she's off to a good start.
Well, I think you guys did great. Let's go to Jason in Middletown. Jason, you're on.
Hey there. This past fall, I happened to notice that I have an apple tree on my property, and a large branch fell off full of apples. It's been there for 3 or 4 years. This is the first time that we've had any fruit. We've never done anything with it. I know the previous owner, so it's basically a wild apple tree. Wondering what can be done to cultivate it, bring it back, make it a more regularly fruiting tree.
Yeah, my guess is that it's got a lot of dead wood in there, at least some. So I would start right out of the gate, dead wood removal, and then any sprouts, water sprouts or suckers around the base, crossing branches, start right there. This time of year, you're a little bit past the time I'd recommend live cutting, but if it's an old tree, you've probably got your hands full with just a lot of dead wood and crossing branches and sprouts, and, you know, really let the tree leaf out, and then at this point, I'd let it leaf out and not prune it midsummer, because you're not really too worried about fruit. You want to bring back the health, and the stuff that I'm talking about you're removing is not going to be taking out any viable fruit anyways.
And then there's just you have an old tree, and that would be considered renovation pruning. So this tree that has not been pruned for a long time now needs to be readjusted. And so if you just look through the internet or any of the pruning books, there's some really nice simple ones. Story Communications still has this great one about pruning. And go to renovating a apple tree. That'll give you sort of an idea of the direction to head.
And recognize when you're doing something like this with a fruiting tree, you're not looking for pretty. You're looking for strong. This is an engineering question. You're trying to get strong branching to hold that weight.
Yep, and making good pruning cuts is the key. And one good site for that is treesaregood.com. Treesaregood.com. It's a not-for-profit put out by the International Society of Arboriculture. And I'm not going to say they're going to tell you everything you need to know about fruit trees, but they're going to definitely really accurately show you pruning diagrams and making good cuts, because pruning is one of the easiest ways to help a tree come back to good health. It's also one of the easiest ways to kind of mess things up by making bad cuts. So can't really usually fix a lot of these bad cuts too. So let's learn that right and apply that. And I think absolutely can bring those back.
Jason, thank you very much for the call. 800-348-2551. Isabel in Saugerties is on. Hi, Isabel.
How do you do? I have a pruning question, please. I have several Rosa Sharon bushes which have reseeded themselves from one that I had. Last year they bloomed beautifully, and I never cut off the dead flowers. Is it too late to do it now?
Well, you know, Rosa Sharon is a plant that is typically pruned prior to growth. You do it along the same lines of like the edible apple trees. So at this point, leaving anything dead on and taking them off is not going to have much of a factor in terms of what your blooms will look like. Although if you wanted to prune that guy, you do want to do it before the active growth.
Rosa Sharon leaves out late, so you could probably do that, and we've done them
even post new growth. I mean, you can prune into June without having too much of an effect. It might delay the bloom slightly, but if it's in a sunny spot,
it's a late falling one. They only bloom in the late fall.
You can certainly, as Fred said, take off all of those seed heads. Any light little nipping you want to do now would be perfect.
Not going to hurt. Not going to hurt it. Yep.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Well, we thank you very much for the call, Isabel. And let's go over to Michael in Poughkeepsie. Michael, you're on.
Yes, I have a vegetable garden that's near a black walnut tree, and I wonder how far away can a garden safely be close to a black walnut tree?
Okay.
And if it's too close, what is the best vegetables to grow in it?
So you have a vegetable garden, so does that mean you've been growing vegetables there and you're successful?
Reasonably successful, yes.
Yeah, so there's that number one. It seems like it probably is too far away. If your plants are not just sort of looking sickly and kind of withering midsummer, then you're probably far enough away. If it's a raised bed, that soil is not really affected by the root system of the tree. So that's probably okay. You know, it's the root system. It has everything to do with that root system. And that's certainly out to at least the, slightly beyond the canopy of the tree. And you wouldn't want your garden under the canopy of the tree anyway. So it seems to me like it's doing okay. But if you think it's close, yeah, you might want to start a new one a little farther away.
Yeah, and the roots of those trees can stretch out to 2 times the canopy spread or beyond over time if it's an older one in particular. So it has potential to be the feeder root zone, you know, not the big structural roots, but the feeder root zone has a potential to stretch way out. But if you're doing okay.
I've seen situations where we planted a tree that died 3 or 4 times in the same spot, not recognizing what the problem was. And we were not only outside the drip line, we were on the other side of a shed, on the other side of a driveway.
Yeah, but
we still lost things.
Because 2 or 3 times that canopy spread, those trees' roots can go and still have an impact. And there are also certain plants that don't seem to be really problematic.
Yeah. And there's a list
they're not
of those.
Effect, yeah, and there's a list of those online, but a lot of plants they don't care. And then there's a lot of plants that, hey, we don't like it at all, and they just, you know, spit and sputter, never do good.
Michael, thank you so much. Let's go over to Barbara in Leverett, Mass. Barbara, you're on.
Hi, thank you. I bought a small dogwood tree 3 years ago, planted it. It gets nice green leaves every year, but I have yet to have a flower. Any suggestions?
Be patient. That's the
first
one. Well, you said you bought a nice small one and it was 3 years ago. So that's about what we tend to say, that it will take a newly planted tree till the third season before it really starts to settle in to a fairly consistent cycle.
Do we know what type of dogwood you have?
No. I don't.
Because some of them, the blooms are much more sensitive to cold damage over the winter than others. And the last few winters have not been very kind to some
trees. If you go out to the tree today and look at the tree, it may be swelling. There may be some, the buds may be starting to get larger. They may be even opening. But if you look at the ends of the branches, if you have flowers that are going to come this year, they will be these significantly larger buds on the very ends, the terminal ends of the woody stems. And then nearby on the slightly more auxiliary stems, you'll have these smaller buds, and those will be leaf buds. So you can actually tell by looking at it right now if it's going to flower for you this year.
A lot of the flower buds look like little onions, at least to my eye,
yeah.
But much smaller.
So you're not suggesting I do anything, add anything to the soil?
Well,
you could always fertilize. Yep. You know, a young tree, the goal is what? Make it bigger in most cases. It's kind of like a young child. You feed them calcium. Well, plants like, they like calcium, but the big growth for those guys is nitrogen. And getting an organic, balanced, complete fertilizer would be beneficial for anything.
Right.
And right now is a good time to still put it down. Put it down before the growth. And we've been really busy at the Arboretum fertilizing all kinds of stuff. So that's going to help because you're giving it food to make it bigger. And if there's an element that it needs for the initiation of the flower bud, phosphorus, potassium is used heavily in flower bud initiation. If your soil is lacking that or if you're heavily nitrogen-based, you might not have enough material there. So either way, it can't hurt to fertilize. It can only help.
Thank you very much.
Yep, you got it.
Thank you very much. Phyllis in Poughkeepsie. Phyllis, you're on.
Hi. I have a Christmas tree cactus. I'm not Christmas tree, but Christmas cactus.
Yeah.
And it's turning red and yellow and getting little bumps on it.
So it sounds like it's maybe a little too wet.
Yeah, I think so. Edema, you think, on
yes.
the leaves? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You think that's fertilizer at all, too?
Probably, I mean, unless you've been adding fertilizer regularly, it sounds like it's just the root. I don't know if you've been watering it more or it got moved to a cooler spot or a shadier spot, but it sounds like the root ball may be a little too damp and you need to dry that out.
Need to be careful not, if you transplanted it, you never want to put those in too much larger a pot because they stay wet too long and they start to rot.
It is a tricky thing to get to recover because often if it gets to that color, that you described, those leaves will continue to wither. What you're hoping for is at some point is some new growth. So a brighter spot in the house, a warmer spot in the house would help it along.
To dry it out.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, and potentially create new growth.
Let it dry out.
Yep.
Then.
Okay. Yeah, good luck.
Okay.
Thank you very
All
much.
All right, thank you.
This one came in via email from George. When's the best time to plant snap peas and regular peas? Zone 5, says George.
Today.
Right now.
Today?
Yeah.
Right now.
Right, good luck. We've been planting peas all month, and you probably can easily plant them for the next few weeks and not miss a beat. You can even try planting a second crop in July. I've done that before with pretty good success for September, October.
Okay. And this one came in from Mariana in Pike County, Pennsylvania. I've been doing an experiment on my septic field mound, steep slope. I have sumac low grow on one part, and it's okay for stabilization. However, weeds and grass will seed under it and does not look great unless weeded out. I found Stephanandra incisa to work very well for stabilization and weed suppression. I know it's not native, however, it does the job. Phlox subulata also works for enough with the big words. Phlox subulata also works very well. That's from Marianne.
Thanks, Marianne.
Thanks for that. Make the host work.
I would suggest if you're doing any of those, although she's right, that Stephanandra is very thick, so a mulching under that would not be necessary after the first or second time. But I would definitely make sure that you've mulched under the under the roost just to keep those weeds down.
And this one came in from Richard, says, regarding garlic, I assume the garlic fellow saved his cloves from the season before, so it's not certified seed. He should check the damaged garlic and look for maggots. Onion maggot is something that can overwinter and ruin a crop. Also, the damaged plants should not be composted, should be bagged and trashed. Would love to hear the crew's comments. You have 12 seconds each.
Because he just uncovered them and they were white, they'd grown in white, I just didn't think that maggots were very active in the wintertime. Certainly possible if you put a lot of leaf compost on there, leaf matter on there, so that it stayed warm.
Yeah, I'm still of the impression that he planted the same stuff in every bed.
I think it's cultural.
It has more to do with the bed than the plants.
And I do actually use my garlic seed every year, the ones I harvest with great success.
Yeah, so that works well.
I don't recommend having to get certified seed if yours is clean. However, it should be clean. Yeah.
Okay. All right. And very quickly, in the last 15 seconds here, let's get our websites.
It's www.fadigans.com. We have our website with all our information and our upcoming events.
Thank you, Bob. Greg?
Yeah, wardsnursery.com, and we have similar things.
And Fred?
And www.landisarboretum.org.
Well, gentlemen, you did a great job. Thank you for coming today. Thanks to everybody who called in. Sorry if you didn't make it through. This is always a popular program. We do the best we can to move it along. Support comes from Saratoga Jewish Community Arts, presenting Havanagila, the movie, a portal to 150 years of Jewish history and identity, Sunday, May 1st, 7 p.m. at Temple Sinai. Reception to follow, 518-584-8730, option 2 for tickets. Unusual Wedding Rings at Moore, 137 North Street, downtown Pittsfield, announcing their retirement on August 1st, providing traditional and non-traditional engagement, wedding, and anniversary rings for conventional and same-sex couples, unusualweddingrings.com. Amherst Copy and Design Works, offering printing and copying, sign making, and design services from booklets to stationery and labels to lawn signs in downtown Amherst, Massachusetts, amherstcopy.com. And the Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings, henyonbakery.com. Thanks again to Bob Graves, Fred Breglia, and Greg Ward. Thanks to you for listening. Our phones were answered today by Deb Malik, our engineer, Jordan Taylor. Isn't that a line of expensive clothing, Jordan Taylor? No, I'm not sure. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Oh, tomorrow it's a Food Friday. Stay tuned now for news.